There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Don't raise trees just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adrianosaurus.
Well, with only three more sleeps until Teamless Tuesday, it feels like Christmas has come once again. There's been a plethora of changes since our last position breakdown. I'm very, very worried about the news that's going to drop tonight, Ado, after I release this, because we've had Schuster out, Katoa in, Hines out for 2 months, Hines out for a week, no one knows. There's just a plethora of happenings. I finally locked in my team last night, mate, for pre-Teamless Tuesday, and then we had this Hines debacle, and now we're sitting here looking at whether we're going to hold Hines or not, considering this calf injury. He is the first person that we're going to talk about today in our halfback and 5/8 podcast. We're going to combine the two of those because halfback, it's pretty slim. But Nico Hines, I don't know what to do, man.
Yeah, it's a conundrum, isn't it? He's worth 900K, so you are. If it's 1 week is the only scenario, if he misses, say, round one, you'll probably start with him. I think you've got no other choice because you're not going to go. So you're going to really regret if you went someone else, like a Sam Walker, and then you're not going to go trade him in round two. But if it's any more than that, I'm not going to be holding. It's 900K. But again, we're going to have Teamless Tuesday come up. I've had varying reports. It's one, it's three, it was two. I think it's not the 2 months. But if he's named on Tuesday, you're gonna go with it.
I'm just pulling up the draw now. Fuck, they don't play until 7:35 on Saturday.
Yeah.
In saying that, Tanner Boyd and the Titans play the last game of the round, but like people that are going Harry Grant, I mean, he plays Thursday. So we're probably not going to know until 7:30 on the Friday when they do the 24-hour team sort of confirmation. I mean, even if he is named at 7 on Tuesday, I'm not fully confident.
Well, I'm not confident, no, but I don't want to go into this season without Hines. I think with the little bits that we've seen of him in the preseason, he's like one of the absolute surety. We don't like to say must have, but I don't want to go into the season without him if I can help it. But again, I'm not going to play silly, and I'm not going to have, if it's looking dicey. There was a conundrum for us at the start of the season. Do we go with Harry Grant or Hines? And I think we answered that we prefer Hines, a lot of us. So maybe if it's looking dicey, you do just go the Harry. You
know? I don't know. Like, obviously, I'm huge on Teague Wilton. Put a post up on Ronaldo Militalo. Obviously, keen on him as well. But I don't know if I can go both of them if Hines is out. That's a big portion of my squad. But we'll talk on him today. We'll talk on him as he's fit for round one. He is, you know, the top halfback. Do you see him finishing as the top halfback again, or do you think he finishes at two?
I reckon it's going to be neck and neck, probably him and Cleary. I think on total points, he'll win. Because obviously Cleary's a lock for Origin and Hines is not a lock. And I actually probably am tipping when I'm having a look at how they're going to line up. I don't reckon he will. So you'll get more games in, but they are both supreme. I reckon that Cleary will probably finish top if I'm picking between the two of them.
Yeah, well, Nico Hines, 30% ownership. Last year averaged 86. This year pegged him at 84. So very, very slight regression. It is always hard to back up an 86 point affair. But, you know, if you can go 84, then fantastic. I mean, buys in round 6, 13, and round 17. That's what I'm having issue with my team. So, obviously, got a few Roosters, got a few Panthers, got a few Titans, and in my latest addition to my team, I've got three Sharks as well. So, that means I'm going to have three Roosters out in round... three Panthers out in round 3, three Roosters out in round 4, to three Titans if you're including Campiero in round five, and then three Sharks in round six. So my depth is definitely going to be tested in the first 6 weeks. But yeah, in draft, you've said he's a top two overall pick.
Yeah, that's what I reckon. Who else are you going to pick? You know, he's got a ceiling. He's got a really good floor. Comparing, I'm going to the Podmasters draft tonight, and the Hines news has got me in a quandary because I would have absolutely picked him first.
You've got one. You've got the overall. You got the first pick in that, don't you?
I got the first pick. Yeah, so I would have grabbed. I mean, I'm probably still going to grab Hines, aren't I? I reckon because. I mean, although you could just grab Cleary because they're going to average the same, eh? And you've got someone right from round one. I could be none from three to start the season if I go with Hines. Yeah. It's a quandary, but yeah, I think he's one of he's top of the pops, isn't he? There's no bad stuff about Hines to own. Every single person in Supercoach who's serious is going to want him. Anybody in draft is going to have him right up the top of their hit list, and
30% seems. Low, I want to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's the price tag, I guess. And I think that people are choosing, you know, they're going in there with one gun and they're choosing Cleary because he's actually 60K cheaper. He averaged 79 last year, you know, and was injured, had a really interrupted season, if you look at it, and probably think he's got a bit of grow room. So, I mean, that's not too bad for Hines. And now that this injury is there as well, I reckon that could see that ownership maybe drop a little bit as well. Just people who aren't game to do it, or even if he's out for round one, they want to just grab an alternative and do other things in their teams and not risk it. So, yeah, that is crazy low, I reckon, for him.
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll definitely have to monitor that ownership over the next coming days. As I said, Teamless Tuesday, I don't think it's going to give me any clarity. I'm probably just going to have to risk it. And look, if he's named, I'm probably just going to have to risk it and run with it and then hope for the best. And boy, I mean, it's handy because I think most people are probably going to VC Nathan Cleary against the Broncos. So that means you've got Hines on your bench. So it's much easier to take the reserve tag off him if he, you know, is ruled out round one, but definitely something to monitor. But a man that is not going to be out for round one, touch wood, because God, who knows what's going to be happening.
I'm having the year off if it happens. I'll tell you what.
It's Nathan Cleary, 841K, 52% ownership. So nearly double Nico Hines' ownership, and it's getting into... I'm not going to say antipod territory, but I have considered the idea of potentially not starting with him due to that round three bye, but it's very hard not to. 52% ownership, as we said. Last year, averaged 79.9. This year, I have him pegged at an 81. So, 2-point, uptick there. You mentioned he had an interrupted year last year, very much so. Came back sort of slow for 2 weeks, but really hit his straps and looked fantastic. He's lost Viliami Kikau on the left-hand side, but I'm not seeing that's going to affect him too much. And you're going to have Brian Toto move back onto the left, by all reports. That's something that we also didn't mention, I don't think. Talon May, I don't think we've recorded since Talon May has been ruled out for the season as well. So more fun news. But yeah, Nathan Cleary, top two. I mean, I don't have the number one overall pick in the Podmasters tonight, but I do have the number one overall pick in one of my home leagues. And I'm very tempted to not take either Cleary or Hines, but
wow. Yeah,
I mean, Tommy Turbo wins your titles, but
if there's a captain, yeah, I mean, if we're playing captains, somebody like Tommy Turbo can go 200. If it's a captain's league, I would, but if it's not,
Weasel territory. But no, look, in all honesty, if you messaged me and said, hey, I've got the second overall pick in my draft and I'm going to take Cleary, I'm obviously not going to be like, oh, no, don't do that. Because he's a stud, and apart from Origin, he'll be there all year. I think he's a guy that, you know, really likes chasing those individual honors too, so he'll want to play for Dally M's and everything like that. I also don't think the Panthers will be as dominant this year, so Ivan Cleary might not have the luxury of resting all his main guys, you know, in those 50-50 calls, so I think Cleary's going to get big game time. Pros, a lot. Cons, not a whole lot. Not much more to say, really, with Nathan Cleary. I mean, 52% ownership speaks for itself. And when a guy is over 800K and owned by 50% of the league, then it makes, you know, a whole lot of sense. I've got no issues here. The only reason why I wouldn't start with him is because of the round three bye, and if I wanted to get really crazy in antipod, but I don't think I have the balls for that.
Yeah, well, especially now with this cloud over Nico, it almost makes Cleary more of a must, because we might do that risky strategy where we're waiting to see if Nico's going to play and we've got him on the bench. So we're going to need a strong option in there, and he is, you know, he's our guy.
You review a lot of teams. Have you – look, I get sent a lot of teams. I don't really review them, but I do get sent plenty. Have you seen a team without Cleary or Hines? Because I feel like it's everyone's got one or the other.
I really have not. I think that most of the people that are sort of sending through interested in, you know, critiquing their teams know enough not to go in without one of those guns. And you save a whole packet of money. If you've got a Boyd or someone in your second spot, you save your 600K. So that's the usual combo I'm seeing. But I am seeing some Hines, I'm seeing some Cleary. And I think that if people are going one in that area, it's these one of these two guys being the anchor.
Tanner Boyd with Braden Trindle, and then you have Nathan Cleary, and then you have Cam Murray, Dave Fifita, Hamel Olakau'atu, just all on your two.
Harry Grant and Cook.
Both those up top.
Harry and Bell. Yeah, you've got enough money to do.
Tarpany Tino up top.
Best team in the world if you leave those two out.
Definitely.
So, no, look, I reckon Nathan's on for a huge year, because you're taking Appy out. We haven't loved what we saw in that World Club Challenge. They looked rudderless, didn't they? But he's such a creator. I think that you'll see a lot more fall on.
Yeah, he'll have to put them. He'll have to probably put the Panthers on his back a little bit more, and you'd expect some more touches. And I do think the Panthers will gel over time, but it's a big loss, and I think that it will come through. Speaking of hookers that, you know, have now entered the club, Mitch Moses has got a new nine.
Yes. Hasn't got off to a roaring start either, Hodgson, as I predicted when we covered nines. But Mitch Moses, Mitchy, he signed on with the old Eels, the poor Tigers. They're like, oh, we didn't want him anyway.
Nah, he bummed.
As if you wouldn't
Luke Brooks all day. Hey, on the contract re-signing, obviously, I made a slight jab at Jeremiah Nanai once he signed that big bag and I got ripped apart. Do you think Mitch Moses is going to have a big regression with the contract re-signing, or are you not buying into that?
I'm not buying into that, because people will be debating whether their window is closed for the premiership, but they're still open enough to still challenge for the title, I reckon. And so these guys, Dillbags and Moses and Gutho, they're going to be up for this year, and I reckon they're going to try to get themselves into another GF if they can. So I don't reckon anything's bad's going to happen with Mitch.
4.4% ownership. We're entering pod territory. I think from memory, I don't have their draw in front of me, but I don't think it's fantastic for the first 4 or 5 weeks. But I think from sort of round 6 to Origin, it really opens up. So Mitch Moses, you know, the typical flat track bully. He could definitely be in my side, say, round 6 onwards if, you know, this calf injury is persistent with Hines.
Yeah, well, definitely. If you want to have a look at a juicy, you're looking at it's light and shade. That opening first 4-5 weeks, I think, is awful, and then from 6 onwards, it looks like it's a kiss on the dick draw after that. So, look, I'm projecting Mitchy. He averaged 70 last year, so that's pretty much elite. You know, you had to go Cleary and Hines really to go any better, haven't you? So he's been much criticized at times, Mitchy, because he's had a low one in, but a 70 average last year really showed that he turned the corner into one of those elite halves. I think he's in the best form of his career. I'm projecting a little bit of a backward this year to 68. The buys are pretty good for Eels. He's in round 14, round 18, round 27. What have I said about drafts? He's probably going to go. I've been in a few drafts now, a couple of live ones, and halfbacks are going so quickly.
Are you taking Hughes or Moses in draft?
I reckon I'd probably take Moses. I would take Moses just with an eye to that, you know, really juicy draw.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit iffy on the Melbourne Storm. I know that Hughes does better when Paps isn't in there, but I'm a bit iffy on them. Whereas what I saw of the Eels when all the players were on deck, they looked slick, you know. So I think I'd probably take Mitch personally, but that's the next run in draft. I was in a draft the other day, and I think I ended up with Luke Brooks because all the half decent halfbacks had gone in there. Oh, it was like before the halfway point of round 2.
Yeah, I had to. I think I had the in one draft last week. I had the 8th pick in the first round, and I had to take Garrick, and I didn't love that. And then I like basically had to reach for Hughes because there was like no halfbacks by the middle of the second.
Well, by the time I'd got to it, because I wanted to get a ceiling player. Everyone always goes a ceiling player. That's why you've got these Manus and all of them up there and Munster. And I, there was nothing in there. I was like, well, where was I looking at? I was at like Sean Johnson, Ilias sort of levels. And I was like, I'll just skip it and just see what's left at the end of dregs. But I think he'll probably go round two because people, it's a really hard position this year to find a quality one. His pros, he's got no early bye. The rounds, here it is, the round 6 to 11 is the Tigers, the Dogs, the Broncos, the Knights, the Titans, and the Raiders.
So what's that, six weeks? He could easily score 600 points in those 6 weeks.
Yep. Now, the cons for Mitchie, he does have really low ones in him. He's got a low floor for a half, and that's what you're not going to get from Cleary and Hines. And they've lost some really key players. We can't be, you know, they looked really good in the trial, I will say. It looked like they hadn't really skipped much of a beat, had they? But they have lost some very key players. And you can't start the year with him because round 1 to 5 is the Storm, the Sharks, Manly, Panthers, and the Chooks.
Oh, yeah, it's night and day. And I know that Hopgood is obviously a gun. I know that Maduri looks really good. And the other back rower who is skipping my mind...
Cardi
Murchie, all those. Look, they're good quality players, but, you know, they're going to be missing their first teamers, their 11, 12, 13, and 9, basically, from last year. So it is a big adjustment. I think a pro and a con with Mitch Moses is he can score points in quick clumps, but if that attacking prowess doesn't happen, like if Parramatta get held in defense for 20, 25 minutes... And Moses, you know, doesn't have that big burst of clumps. And, yeah, he's got those really low scores in him. But, yeah, round 6 to 11, man, I'm really, really tempted. Also won't play Origin. So, you know, he's out round 14 and round 18. Whereas, like, clear he's going to be in and out. Hines could be 18th man. Like, so I think Moses over that middle period is fantastic. If you wanted to hold him all season long, that'd be, you know, fine as well. Because around 27 by won't affect your head-to-head finals either. So...
Yeah, I mean, I can see why he's 4.4%. You know, he's not. I mean, I wouldn't touch him if because I'm going Hines and Cleary. But if he's, you know, let's just say Hines is out for 3 weeks, Mitch isn't the worst.
Honestly, if his draw was swapped around, like that round 6 to 11 and round 1 to 5, that could be closer to 20%. Genuinely.
Yep. If it was flipped, if that script was flipped, and it's for the start of the season, but I'm going to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, definitely.
With an eye for that round 6 to 11 run.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jerome Hughes, 721K, 4% ownership. Last year, averaged 68.5. I've got him pegged this year at a 66. Buys in round 9, 13, 19. Draft due to lack of halves depth. As I said, he could be a top of the second, middle second kind of guy. I've seen him go that early. And,
He's been going there.
Few of my drafts.
Yeah.
Now, with Hughes, obviously Kiwi in a very, very prominent side, and his average does soar without Pappenhausen in the side. And Pappenhausen, another story that we missed out over between pop recordings, he's come out and said that the talk of him returning inside 2 months is, you know, optimistic, and I genuinely think he could come back, say, round 20 off the bench, and we might get Pappenhausen absolutely dirt cheap next year, which is lovely. But as for Hughes, he definitely benefits with no Pappenhausen there. When it comes to floor, I mean, it's never fun to pay 720K for a guy who's not the main half in his team, and that's the only thing that I've always struggled with Jerome Hughes. Munster's going to get more of the touches. How's Nick Meaney going to bed into the side? You know, they've got a new edge pairing as well. It's definitely one to consider. It's nothing huge, but I just think with the options that we have above these guys and even one man below that we'll talk on, I'm not saying the value at 721K. You know, I think we're paying top dollar for him and I don't see him as a keeper. And I've reiterated on this podcast a few times, if I'm not picking a keeper, I kind of want them to make money or at least hold value. And I think Hughes could drop a little bit, unfortunately. But definitely over the Origin period could be a handy pickup with, say, Moses, for example.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, Jerome Hughes, he's a joy to watch. I really love watching him play because he's got that, you know, he's got the X factor about him. You can just go and you're like, how come he slips through tackles and I just can't believe he got through it. But yeah, look, he's for me. I agree with you. If you're not going to spend up big in the Hines and the Cleary, then the only reason you would not go those guys is to save some money. And I just don't think there's enough if you go Hughes.
I agree. I put a few big balls calls on Instagram this morning, and they're not like little spicy hot takes. They're genuinely huge hits out of the park.
It's a big friggin' beanbag sack full of big balls calls.
There. And one of them was Sam Walker to out average Jerome Hughes. You've got him pegged at a 64. I had Hughes pegged at a 66. I'm probably a little bit higher on Sam Walker than you are, but that's only probably 2 or 3 points, so it's not huge. But really, really like the idea of Sam Walker, and 623K. I think you're saving, what, 200K on Cleary?
Yeah, you're saving better. That's 100K there, isn't it? There's a difference, and that's why it makes a little bit more sense to me. People are probably going to be limiting how many chooks they do go with.
That's the big issue, because if you're going to have Cheese, you're going to have Teddy. If you like the look of Egan Butcher, then can you really afford to have four chooks with a round four bye?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't reckon. I don't reckon you can.
I'm iffy with three. I've got three roosters right now, and I don't love that. So adding a fourth is just not viable for me.
Yeah, it's not viable. But look, people are taking a punt on him. You can see at 8.8%, people are like, well, I'm not going to spend this money on Cleary or I imagine it's probably Hines. But I reckon Sam Walker, he's going to be mid-60s this year. I reckon he's improving. That's the other thing, too. It's sort of hard to peg what he was going to jump this year, because I really think he's getting better the more time he spends in first grade. I'd probably say that for Ilias as well this year, after having put his first full season in the NRL. So, yeah, I'm big on Sam Walker like you, but I'm not. I hate the Roosters, and I'm not going to own Sam Walker. I'm gonna own the other ones like Teddy, because you got no choice. If there's other ones, well, and I like Egan Butcher too, so I've brought him in. But
what do you think of my Sam Walker over Hughes sort of shout in terms of averages? Obviously, you've got him pegged at a 64, but would you be shocked if Walker averaged more? Would you be like, oh, look, that definitely is feasible?
No, I think it's fine. You know, a lot of us are tipping a big resurgence if they stay injury free. I know they've had a few injuries actually to start this year as well.
I feel like we've been saying that for 4 years. If they stay injury free,
but look, I think that maybe the Melbourne Storm take a step backwards, a tiny step backwards, and we think it's a big step forwards for the Roosters. So I don't think it's too unbelievable. Sam Walker, he's got all the attributes to be a good super coach scorer. He's put on a bit of weight as well, so I don't think there'll be as many missed tackles, maybe a few tackle breaks.
His goal kicking is probably a few percent better as well, which would result in a couple of more points as well. Speaking of goal kicking halves, let's wind back the clock to 2012. We're going to look at Sean Johnson, 456K, currently 1% ownership. Shout out to the 1% of people that own SJ.
1% of people just couldn't resist the rig. They just saw him with the shirt off, the photo, just having a little flex, and they were like, oh, yeah, bro.
I've actually got him as a pretty big uptick this year. I mean, last year averaged 43.4. Is it outrageous to say 55 this year? That's like 11 points of value.
I mean, it is. I think you've done your projections based on his rig as well.
Yeah, 100%. No, I just think goal kicking, he should get that back this year. I mean, the Warriors just look a better side this year, and I don't know. Hopefully SJ has a bit of a bounce back. But buys in round 9, 13, and 19. I've put here in draft due to lack of depth. Okay, I've copied and pasted. I was going to say Sean Johnson is not a round 2 guy. I've seen him go.
I'm reading this on the phone here. I'm like, the Whisperer's grabbing Sean Johnson
in round two? No, look, I've seen him go in round sort of six and round six, seven, eight. I think people are looking at averages from last year. I've said this a few times. When you get down to those dregs of players, you start looking at averages rather than projections. And I think people would look at the average last year of 43, and I've got him pegged at 55, so I think he could be definitely a little bit undervalued. I just think SJ probably has... Shit, dare I say, the most value of any of these halves that we're going to talk about today?
Well, you see, the thing is, he's super coach royalty, isn't he?
Pedigree.
And the thing with him is, I reckon he's probably, the Warriors have lacked a bit of, stiff toughness in their forward pack, which I reckon they've added in great players.
I think they've got like a top six forward pack.
I reckon they've got a great forward pack this year. So that's what a half like Sean Johnson needs. If these guys are getting him up the field, I reckon he'll do what he does. The thing about him is he's not a running half anymore.
No,
is he going to run more this year, do you think?
Well, that's the thing. Like, how much ball is like Chance going to get, and how much ball is like Tomato Martin going to get out the back? So that's probably the only thing. But look, even still, like 43 last year, If he averages, what, 2.5 goals a game, that's 10 points. So, I mean, I think there's value there, even 10 points, and that's not including any uptick in sort of try assists and anything. So, look, as much as
I wouldn't be starting with him either, because if you've seen their draw to start...
Oh, it's not fantastic, but look, I don't hate it. I think, you know, SJ, I do probably think he presents them... Oh, probably the next guy presents the most value that we talk about. But yeah, SJ genuinely probably has 10 points of value, but I just think... Halfback is on a position I really want to be stuffing around with this year if Hines is fit. Big caveat there, if fit.
That's right. Ilias is our next bloke on the list. 363,300, which is a real safe. That's like 600K if you don't go Hines. He's 7.1% ownership, which is surprises me. I mean, I wouldn't have thought he'd be so high.
Yeah, I was surprised seeing 7.1. For anyone that's going to quickly ask in the chat between Johnson and Ilias, asking where Tanner Boyd is, we have done Tanner Boyd on the Hooker podcast. So if you want to go back and listen to our thoughts on Tanner Boyd, then go for it. But yeah, Ilias at 7.1% seems fucking high.
It's high. I mean, they got a hard draw to start the year. I think that is totally a money thing, isn't it? Average last year was 35. Famously, it was that game where he got hooked. But I'm going to tell you something. It shows the mettle of the guy, because he came back in. I think he had a really fine finals campaign. I reckon he's going to be better this year. I'm not tipping second-year syndrome from him. I think he's going to do better this year based on what I saw.
I just think people expect these like 18, 19-year-old halfbacks to come in and just be fucking good from the start. It's like, hey, just chill. Like, give him like 2 or 3 years. And I think second
year... Cody Walker there as if they're going to give him a giant hand in what they're going to do.
Cody and Luttrell are taking all the touches. So, I think Ilias bounces back. I mean, you've got him pegged for a 16-point uptick this year up to a 51.
I do. I'm having a look at his PPM. I've sort of conservatively guessed, because he did have some shorter games in there, a couple in last year. So I've tipped a progression upwards for him this year, and it is a big one. We're both tipping the same sort of jump for both of them, aren't we?
Yeah.
Sean Johnson and Ilias. So I'm projecting a 51 from him this year, and that obviously does mean that there's some value. I mean, just for the record, I think on Boyd we were predicting mid-50s. So, you know, it's not the worst shout in the world. Their draw is, pretty hard to start. And while that might not affect someone like Luttrell, I think that could affect Ilias.
Yeah, I mean, I think Luttrell and Cody, they're going to get enough touches to negate the draw, whereas Ilias is the third string. And for halfbacks, it's very rare to be the third string in the modern day. So that's probably the knock against him. I mean, with attacking chances against good sides, they're going to be limited. And Luttrell and Cody will take a lot of those. So how many chances will Ilias get? But in saying that, on the right-hand side there, you're going to have Campbell Graham and probably Isaac Thompson. So it's not a weak edge at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be, and I think that he'll be all the better for he's been in his second year of his career, playing a finals campaign. I think he's going to be okay. If the draw was easier and you were going to go him as your second, you know, we're going to Boyd, you know, but I'm not going to begrudge anyone going an Ilias. Let's talk about the buys. It's round 16, round 20, round 26. That doesn't bother me at all because he's long gone by then, isn't he?
Yeah, he's made his money, done his job, and you've sold him by then.
Yep. So you get the early part of the season. He's improved greatly as a footballer on last year, and I expect his second full season for him to improve. He's not a goal-kicking half, and, you know, that's Sean Johnson will slot goals, and he's a pretty good goal-kicker. And that's the thing about Hughes as well. That sometimes that extra 10 or 12 or 14 points is pretty handy to you, isn't it? So it's one of those things. He's average. I mean, if he was a good goal-kicker, you could just put 10 points onto that, and that 35 doesn't look really as wretched as it did last year. So, you know, he's got a hard draw. He hasn't really translated last year into Supercoach, unfortunately. Some of his scores last year, let me read them
minus
out to you.
-1 and a 0?
He got a -1 and a 0 last year, and he got a 17 and an 18. So if he hasn't got those out of his game, if you happen to be playing him or have the reserve on him, you're going to be shitty.
Yeah, big AE nightmare there if you do pick him and not decide to play him. A couple of avoid like the plagues based off this this show. A few of these might end up in our teams. Jackson Hastings at 5.1%. I just think he is great for NRL fantasy with the kick meters and stuff. But for Supercoach, I mean, I think he's just going to be the shovel. I don't see
much. We should have learned what his output is going to be pretty much what we saw at the Tigers, isn't it? It's not going to be any better.
No, probably
5.1 shocks me, really.
Yeah, very high, probably the jewel. 4.3% with Chad Townsend. Is this
holy Moses.
Is this people just trying to target the draw? Like,
yeah, I mean, you want to get a slice of the Cowboys, but Chad is not the one you go.
2.1% of Bulldogs fans own Josh Reynolds.
Holy moly. I'm just looking at this and going, what? Why? I mean, 2.1, where you look at Sean Johnson is 1%.
Yeah.
More people own Josh Reynolds.
And more people own Adam Reynolds as well at 3%.
Yeah, Adam Reynolds, he's injured. It seems like every friggin' week, nearly. Still good for the Broncos, though. I think it was a good buy.
Yeah,
he's an absolute ornament to the game, really, in a way.
Lovely,
Ray. But you can't. How are you going to go start the season with him?
Yeah, no, I don't know. How you can start the season with any of these blokes. I mean, as much as I take the piss out of the 1% of people that own Sean Johnson, him at 1% compared to Chad Townsend at 4.3 is just criminal.
Yeah. I mean, Chad was the buy of the year last year, really. And I was poo-pooing it more than anyone else. I was like, why the hell would you pay $800 for Chad?
Yeah, he's really good. Really good. Let's move on.
He's got some swag and he's helped the Cows, but I wouldn't own him for $1 million.
No. Let's move to 5/8 because at the start, we have big boy Cam Munster. Now, with Hines out, people are looking at going Grant. I mean, you've mentioned to me that you might consider going Munster. 848K, 14% ownership, which seems high. Last year, averaged 80.6. I've already pegged it about a 78. I don't think it's going to go drastically too far. Slight regression. Buys in round 9, 13, and round 19. In draft, you know, he's going from anywhere, sort of from pick 7 to pick 11. So mid to late first. Pros, it's Cam Munster. Cons, it's Cam Munster. He's back on the beers, apparently, which... Oh, how do we feel about that?
Oh, I don't know. I've seen him in training, and he's looking okay. So maybe he's got back into the no beers. Well, I don't know if that's a rule yet.
I think he's a dad now, so he's probably got to be somewhat more responsible.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's kind of 14% owned. I was like, oh, maybe I'll take a slice of Cam.
Oh, yeah, I'm not...
Cam Munster, because he's... 9% or something.
I'm not saying the 14% is too high. I'm not saying the 14% is a bad pick. I was just surprised that he was so high, considering someone like
Dylan value Brown. in these other ones. Yeah, so it's. I just thought this is sometimes in Supercoach it shows you where there's some value picks, and Munster. How can you afford a Hines, a Cleary, a Grant, you know, get your teddies and all of those, and buy yourself a Munster too.
I just think for 14%, with the amount of teams I've seen, I don't think I've seen a Munster team at all. So I was just taken aback by the 14%.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the old Supercoach Sponge on Twitter there, he said through a Munster team. But I haven't seen a heap of them. I haven't even considered him until the Hines news, and I was like, well, maybe I can grab a Munster just to so that my team doesn't look the same as everyone else.
Do you think he gets...
Not going to fail you. He'll still average high 70s, maybe.
That's what I was saying. Like, with no Pap, do you think he just takes a bunch more touches?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I looked at Munster earlier in the preseason when there was talk that he was going to go back to fullback. I was very intrigued then. But him at 6, I'm probably not as keen as 14%. But, yeah, I mean, overall, you can't go wrong with Cam Munster. I don't think he's going to fail you at all.
Yeah, nobody who... You're not going to be able to laugh at a Cam Munster owner say, ha, 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 you got it wrong. Munster's going to just keep cleaning up points. And, look, you've got a no-frills sort of meanie that's come in there to replace Paps. That's one person who sort of... takes a bit of control. I think it's going to be, you know, Hughes, Grant, and Munster. So, you know, he's going to get his hands on the ball, and people are probably like, you take one of those big cogs out of a team like Melbourne, it's going to fall to the other three. So people are probably optimistic for Munster running the show a bit more, I guess.
Now, when you make content, you put out a lot of really, really crap predictions. But last year, my breakout or bounce back player was Dylan Brown. Started with him, and I think that was one of the reasons I had such huge success. And boy, 20-point increase, 74 average last year. Tell me about Dillbags, because this was one I was very, very happy with. I just thought last year, I mean, people ask how you find these value picks, and the reason how I came for Dylan Brown was I think he had one try assist and still averaged 50 points a game. So the floor was definitely there. We just needed to see a little bit more of attacking output, and we saw it last year, and geez, now he comes in at just under 800K.
Yeah, 781,300 in my very, very first team when the team picker came out. My one treat to myself in my team was Dillbags.
I do remember this.
Yeah, I mean, look, and in that in the trial when they were all on deck, he was sizzling hot, wasn't he? He looked good. He got through for that try. I showed the missus on the old Instagram last night a couple of pictures to choose. I made a pick between Horsburgh and Tuppany, and she's like, "What the fuck? Oh. You doing?" But yeah, she's going to have Dillbags in her team. I guarantee you that much. So he's an absolute star. I think that he's actually finally realizes he's not a pretender. Not that he ever was, of course, but he's found his confidence, hasn't he? He looks almost like he's an even piece now in what they do.
He burst onto the scene, what, 2019? And then, you know, people were talking 2020 about him getting a $1 million contract. And I was like, well, let's just pump the brakes here a little bit. 2021, you know, not great. And then really, really found his feet last year. You got him pegged at a 72 this year after a 74 last year. Yep. He's just, like, he just racks up points. Like, he definitely gets in and amongst the work. He'll be a guy that has no attacking output. You'll be watching the game thinking, fuck, Dylan Brown, do something. And then you check at halftime, he's on like 43 points. You're like, shit, where'd
that
come
from? Him and Munster, they're the same kind of mold. They're just great runners, aren't they? They run and they rack up points in tackle breaks, line breaks. They're always there to pop up for a try. I think that in the 5-8 position there, I almost prefer these guys. Well, I definitely prefer these guys to the passing ones at the moment because it's all going to the sweeping fullback. But Dillbags, he'll get his points from tries and from tackle breaks and these great runs. I reckon he's going to be in the 70s again this year.
Whoa, I've just seen your projection for the next person, and you don't have Dylan Brown as the second best 5-8.
No, I don't.
Oh, spicy. Well, let's talk about the pros and cons.
So Dillbags, it's the same as Moses. They got the hard draw to start, but I'll have my eye on him for round 6, won't we? Because round 6 to 11 with Dillbags could be a really nice,
ride. So round 6, we'll get a price rise in 3, 4, 5. So we'll get 3 price falls. If he could be like 650, I'd definitely be tempted.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. The cons, expensive early games. Obviously, we've said this about the same thing about Moses, but the difference between Moses and Dillbags is Dylan's probably got the consistency in the bottom flooring that Moses doesn't have. But let's talk on Dewey because, Jesus, you've got him pegged at a 73 average, which is 1 point higher than Mr. Dylan Brown. 624K. 22.29% ownership feels awfully, awfully, awfully low compared to someone like a Matt Burton, who I think was at 45% last week. Last year, average 59. This year, we've got him pegged at a 73. Buys in round 7, 13, 17. You've got here for draft third best 5-8. I'm assuming we need to correct that to be the second best 5-8.
Well, yeah, I mean...
You're splitting hairs, aren't you?
I am splitting hairs because I've got him only 1 point apart, haven't I? I reckon he's... He's one of those accumulators as well. Like, he's different to Dillbags, like a running. He'll drill passes and get a try assist like that. And he's obviously a goal kicker as well, which will get him to that average. But I don't think anyone's going to. Well, are people going to really in draft grab him before they grab Dillbags? I don't think so.
No, and I don't hate it. I mean, second year back from ACL, we know how big that is for players.
Yep. So I've got him doing good things this year.
The cons, none really you've put here. How did the Tigers go this year? Can't be worse than last year. Man, if we go worse than last year, I'm giving up.
I mean, they got to score something like 25, 30, 40 more tries this year. So he's going to have more try assists. He's going to have more goals. He's got better weapons there. You got Bateman and IPAP on your bloody edges.
Yeah, and we saw...
What could you say? The only thing is if you think he's going to get injured or put back to the centres. That's the only cons, really, but that's not going to happen.
We saw just how good he was against the Raiders. I mean, in that trial, he just carved you up. He was just so good with the ball, and he looked really good. He ticked all the boxes.
Yep, definitely. Look, I put Price as one of the pros. That's the only thing that would ever make me not go with an out-and-out gun like Munster. It's a decent enough saving down to Dewey, and I think he's going to average in the 70s this year. I've tipped him to the 70s. I reckon he's one of the most popular ones you can go, I reckon, in the 5-8.
I feel like we haven't mentioned that that trial on the weekend, mate.
No, I mean, come on. Raiders, it's bloody
fuck, you look, so bad. You look so shit.
Sticky does not care about bloody trials. He's like, he tells the lads, just go out there and give it 40%.
Well, as we know, the Tigers are one of the greatest trial teams of all time. I mean, I remember the standing ovation game against Manly 2 years ago, and we won 56-4, I want to say. And so,
I'm not panicking, but I just, Fogarty is going to need to get Jack White and up and about to do something. He can't be one of those fleety in and out of games players if the Raiders are going to do any good this year. But we're on Dewey, aren't we? But he did carve us up.
Seb Chris at fullback did not look amazing.
Well, he's going to be there in round one.
Fuck, really?
Because Rapana has said, I haven't got the legs now for fullback. He told Ricky, I won't do it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Someone that does have the legs for fullback, what a transition. AJ Brimson, 700. Well, 673K, 3% ownership. Honestly, I can get around this. Last year, got a 64. This year, I've got him pegged at a 65. Buys in round 5, 13, 16 in draft. Got him pegged as a mid-third round pick. AJ Brimson, I feel like he's finally hitting his traps consistently. I mean, he's always been up and down. I think it just shows you the faith that Holbrook has in him, because Jaden Campbell's meant to be this, a beacon of all light, the promising young fullback that's supposed to take the Gold Coast by storm, but yet Brimson has won the job 2 years in a row now. I really like Brimson. I mean, fullback that's going to be available at 5'8". If you did want to zig against Dewey, I think for the same price, Dewey is 624. Brimson's a tad more expensive. But if you wanted to go pod, I don't hate the Brimson shout at all.
Yeah, same. I like him as a footballer, Brimson. And they can really turn on some attack, those Titans. So I reckon he's going to be trying.
There's this narrative around the Gold Coast that people always worry, taking their attacking players, are they going to put up the points? The Titans can score the points with the best of them. I mean, they can also leak them with the worst of them. That's the problem.
They can score 50, but they'll the other team will score 56.
A classic Titans game just ends with the Titans lost 32-28. They can score points. Don't get that wrong. And Brimson in the trial looked really good, was supporting really well through the middle. I think he will really benefit with Tanner Boyd taking it to the line a bit more.
Yeah, I think so. And look, it's just a fullback you can pick in your 5-8. When Schuster went down, I was thinking, all right, well, do I go to a Burton or I will be different and I'll go with Brimson, because I'm not as convinced on Burton. But I reckon he's going to be in for a good year. I think he could mid-60. I mean, look, a fullback, you've got to look at him as a 5-8, because you've got to put him in 5-8. Yeah. If you're going to pick him in fullback, you're going to get no value out of him.
Well, that's the thing. If you're looking at his projected average of 65 and you're stacking him up against the best fullbacks in the game, it's not close. But the best 5-8s in the game, I think he definitely stacks up there or thereabouts.
Do you think, have we got Ponga on here?
We do.
Well, we'll talk about whether, you could get Ponga for a couple of $100K cheaper if you think he's going to do anywhere in the ballpark.
Yes. Thomas Dearden, I remember back in round 2 or 3, I think Dearden had a couple of good scores and someone messaged me. They were like, oh, should I buy Dearden? And I'm just like, no. Go away. Yeah. And then average 58 in the end. Really good.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, it was his career year, wasn't it? Really, it's 58. He sort of finally a coach showed some faith in him, and he's next to an experienced half, and he flourished, I reckon, last year. 612,300 for him. He's 2.8% owned. You can see these little couple of percent of people that just taking a punt on a cowboy.
Yeah.
Because of their nice draw. I'm projecting him for a 60 average this year, and I don't know, is that value at 612? We think AJ Brimson's going to get a 65 for 673, so you've got to kind of work out a value for dollar. Would I be happy to... I reckon Ponga for 400 is probably going to average 60, so that's
I think with Dearden is if you're buying him, you've got to trade him out sort of round 6, round 7. I'm not too sure if I'm confident to hold him through tough draws. If I was taking a punt, yeah, the good draw, but you're basically locking yourself into a trade here, which I'm never a huge fan of at 600K.
Nah, not for me. The buy's in round 15, round 19, round 24. So, you know, having a few Cowboys in your team is good business, probably, with their draw and the fact that they don't have early buys. You just got to find the right ones. In draft, you know, it's a halfback crisis, you know, so I don't know when he's going to go, but he's sort of like a, you know, sixth or seventh in the 5-8 position. So if I lost Munster, Dillbags, you know, Dewey, even probably Burton, I get to a point where I just go, I throw that position in the bin if there's nothing else good in there. And I don't know if I'd be making a selection in the 5-8 position with Dearden when I reckon there'd be heaps better players on the board.
Yeah.
So I'm not rushing to get him. If we're down to that point in the 5-8 position, I might as well just take a Schuster who's going to probably do the same, you know. Look, his pros are that he's found his feet in first grade. The Cows draw of the Raiders, the Broncos, the Warriors, the Titans, the Dogs, the Dolphins, and the Warriors again. Oh, and then the Knights. That's beyond a good draw. That is an amazing draw. So for all of you people that are draw people, like, I'll get that. We were harping on about that with the Eels. So how could you not want a piece of that draw? Whatever his best is, I reckon, Dearden, whatever the best he's going to do is going to be in this opening draw. Cons, he doesn't really have a huge ceiling if you look at him. He's the same price as an Adam Dewey, pretty much.
Yeah. What are we even talking for? I'm not seeing much upside. Cody Walker, 602K, 6% ownership. Last year averaged 57.3, which was a bit of a drop-off. I went and had a look at his historic scores without Adam Reynolds, and they weren't fantastic, and his season last year backed that up. This year, I got him pegged at a 62, which is a 5-point uptick. Buys in round 16, 20, and 26. Draft, I got him sort of late fourth, early fifth. Now, with Cody Walker, you know, the pros are, it's Cody Walker. He has a 200-point game next to his name for Supercoach, and that was before PVL ball. He had the record before Turbo and Cleary blew it open, so he definitely has that. He is a speed player, but he's getting on, but he does have Latrell outside him, which is always handy. I think another pro for him is another season with Ilias, building that combination, and a fit Trell also definitely helps as well. So much of, you know, positive for him that they attacked in the left side, which is Cody's side. Definitely points are going to be there. The cons are a really, really tough draw to start the season. Does have a super low floor in him. We've seen with Supercoach over the last couple of years that the 5-8 for the halfbacks don't really get those try assists. It's more the sweeping fullback out the back. So is that taking points away from Cody? It seems like it. I do think there's 5 points of value, but I'm not really keen with the pretty tough draw to start the season.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've always loved owning Cody Walker, and on the old same game multis, whenever Souths are up on a decent matchup, you slide him in, don't you? And AJ for three. That's just the way it is. He's a try scorer, and he always pops up. He's a will-o'-the-wisp kind of player. But like you said, it's the sweeping fullbacks that get it. I was going rank last year over, you know, he'd do these beautiful wraparounds and then cut out a bloke and get absolutely drilled by the defense, and then they give it to just the catch and pass center. But that's the way Supercoach is now. We've become a bit of a last touch game. So 600K for Cody. I just reckon we are seeing a steady decline since the exit of Reynolds. You have got the hard draw. The next bloke on the list is probably one. If you're going to take a punt, I reckon this is probably a better punt.
And speaking of punts, biggest boot in the game, Matt Burton, 594K, 33% ownership. That's come down.
Popular.
That's come down a lot. I think it was at 43, 44 about a week ago. And I'm not sure if that was the impressive performance of doing the trial or people just getting FOMO, but you talk about Dylan Brown being in your very first iteration. Matt Burton was sort of in mine. He really hasn't been back since. You've got him pegged at a 68. Don't know.
You reckon that's high?
Yeah.
You reckon I'm going high?
65, maybe.
Yeah, maybe 65.
But tell me about Burton.
Well, look, Burton, he had a 57 average last year. The main reason I'm putting in there is even just try assist to kick out. You know, like, he's got to get some more stuff this year. He's got some more decent people that have come in. He's got I've been a bit anti Marnie as well, but his service off the ground I've always said I thought JMK was probably better than Marnie was showing in his end of his career at the Eels. But I think what I saw of him in the Dogs, he really complimented him. So I think that the couple of additions are going to help Burton so that he's not relied on so much in the team. Last year, they were in so much trouble at times that all he was that big boot. Remember that? Like, he just would take no runs or anything. He'd just keep booting that ball. And it's like all he was a kicker. I reckon he's going to – I've just done a little bit of sums on what I think his PPM could do and who he's got in the team with him. I think he's going to be, mid-60s at a
– Oh, he's value. Yeah. I'm not saying he's not value. I just think pushing 70 is – Oh boy, I'm anti-potting him, so I really hope not. I'm really hoping it stays around.
Yeah, I reckon he might. I don't know whether he starts slow and finishes strong. I don't know what order it's going to come in, but I think they're going to find their
there'll group. Be waves. It's not going to be a consistent 68. It'll be a 30 and a 140. Like, it's going to be very up and down. I mean, the pros, you've said it, the price is really nice, and they've had some good purchases to the club. The cons, you know, he's had some very low scores in him, a 20, 23, 27, 28. So if the Bulldogs do go missing, which, you know, the Sharks really shut them out in that trial, so there definitely is still going to be some room for growth. And I think
I think I did this before I saw that game, and I realised how much they still have to work on for gelling, I guess. I think in a perfect – maybe next year his average is 68.
Maybe. I think it comes down to Hayes Perham, to be honest. I think how much Hayes Perham clicks in this attack will definitely help Burton, but it's definitely one to see, and I'm very happy to sit on the sidelines and hopefully watch him crash and burn. Kalen Ponga, 530K, yes. Ownership, I've got 33% here, but I think that's Burton. So while I'm waffling away, Ado, if you want to pull up Ponga's ownership for me. Does have the handy dual upgrade. That's been something that's happened between the last time you and I have spoken. Has finally gotten the 5/8 update. And last year averaged 50.4. This year I've got him pegged at a 62. Buys in rounds 10, 14, and round 19. In draft, you know, you could probably have him as late as sort of round 6, but now with the new dual, you could be pushing late 3rd, early 4th. Ado, what's his ownership?
10.4, so
that's pretty low for what I Ponga. Thought.
Well, I mean, I think that's probably jumping every day since we heard the Schuster news. It's probably just tempered now that we've heard the Katoa news.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, with this news that Schuster's out, a lot of people did jump on the Ponga train. I was one of them. I think I made an iteration of my team with Ponga in there. And the big pros are that beautiful early draw. I mean, they have a fantastic draw. It's Kalen Ponga. He's had averages of 70 in years gone by. You know, he does have the huge ceiling and, you know, could be the making of a good 5/8 if he has the time. The cons are, it looks like he's not going to be goal kicking, which is going to be a big hit for his sort of average if Jackson Hastings is the one kicking. How much touches are Lachie Miller out the back going to be taking from Ponga as well? And also, we can't really not talk about the defensive liabilities. I think he'll be racking up
plenty of missed tackles.
Minus 6 points a game in missed tackles.
Yeah, and there's also that risk, you know, he's going in the front line so that he doesn't get as many head knocks.
Yeah, I mean there's
got to be a chance of copping a whack in the head in that front line.
The Magic Sponge mentioned it on his podcast, the NRL Physio, about just the amount of concussions, and I feel like we're not talking about that with KP. And, definitely more susceptible. But 530K, now available at 5/8. I don't hate it.
We're going Dewey instead of Munster because it's a good saving. Would you go down and have Ponga as your main one with a Katoa on the bench? Would you get that cheap?
I don't think I can trust Ponga as my 5/8-1, but I could definitely trust him as my 5/8-2. And basically, I'm only trusting him for the first 5 weeks because of that sort of golden draw, and then hopefully sell to Schuster when he's back.
Yep. Ezra Mam. 580. I was shocked when I heard his price. I was like, oh, he must have gone all right last year.
Yeah.
You know, good old man. 583,600. He's only 1.6% owned.
That feels high.
It is high. I mean, for 583, you know, we're projecting him lower than Ponga. So just go Ponga and save some money.
Yeah.
It's got to be Broncos fans, isn't it? He's averaged with 55. I've got him for a 59. This year, the buys are not going to be too much of a worry. Round 16, round 19, round 25. He's at a price where 583. You're going to try to get it. Hopefully, he makes money and you get him to Munster.
I just don't see it. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe I see this going one of two ways. I don't think there's going to be a middle here. I think he's either going to kill it with Reece Walsh, or Reece Walsh is going to take all these touches.
Yeah. Look, he's got, that's the pro. He's no early buys. He actually, I looked at him, he had a 13 points against the Melbourne Storm, and his next lowest game was 36. I reckon that's a pretty good floor.
That's not bad.
You know?
For a non-goal kicking attack reliant 5'8".
Yeah, second year of first grade, so I think I say the same thing about him and Ilias. I don't think he's going to get worse this year. I think he's going to get better. And, you know, that floor is probably one of the better ones in that position. The cons, we haven't seen a ceiling on him so far. And, you know, we know that Dewey has that. We know that Burton has that. We know that Dillbags has that. We know that Ponga has that. I just don't think he's got a ceiling in him that is anything that you want to spend that kind of money on, unfortunately. And, you know, are you going to take him ahead of Burton? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
that's the issue. Even you know, I don't love Burton this year, but
that's right.
I love
There's
him
a punt.
More, I love
both
him
of those
more
guys
him.
Are yeah. Both of those guys are a punt for whatever reason. But I could see myself taking a Burton punt. I just couldn't do it with Ezra Mann.
Yeah, 100%. Now, gift from the gods himself, Wayne Bennett, the classic Supercoach killer who doesn't play rookies, who loves the old guard, has said, "Fuck it, MILF, you ain't playing, champ." And has dropped Milford in favour of Isaiah Katoa at 216K. Why is he not 200K?
I don't know. He's never played.
Yeah, I know. That's why. Why is he not 200K? But 216K, 25.8% ownership. Expect this to be hot take, 45% by Tuesday.
Yeah, mate. Let's just hope it happens, eh? Let's just hope it happens because I
can you imagine if Wayne? Can you imagine?
I had Ponga in my team for 15 minutes.
Can you imagine if Wayne's leaked this to the press and then on Tuesday just names Milford anyway?
It's so Wayne. It is. It is so Wayne. And like we're gonna have to go and break it because we've just gone. Schuster's out. What do we do? Oh, Katoa's in. So well, I put him straight in. I've even made a couple of dollars here. This is fantastic. We're gonna have to break our teams on Tuesday because. I mean, it's like it's not as bad as watching Wayne drop Boyd. You know, like we that would have been unbelievable. We all would have just died of shock.
Yeah, it feels like the same. But yeah, average last year, none. This year, you've got him pegged at a 56, which fuck that feels high. But I mean, he's definitely promising. I think the big cons with him is the fact that. The Dolphins, I just don't see them putting up points, to be honest.
Yeah, the Dolphins are shit. He could actually just be right on the button 50. And look, when he came in on the trial, I think that's why he's in there Milford isn't. He came on, looked great, and got all the attacking points in that try. It was pretty much all in one play. So all he's got to do is a couple of those a game. He doesn't look like a shrinking violet to me, so I think he's going to get out there and give it a go. And he looks like a real talent. I reckon... First year, he looks more talented than Ilias to me. He scored 35.
Yeah,
so.
barring job security issues, we're gonna have an unfazed run to basically get him at his peak because his first buy is in round 16. So we're gonna get as much time as we need to with Katoa to eventually cut him when he's made some cash and you know, boy, hopefully you know upgrade him to someone decent. The pros, no early buys, as we've said, does have the dual. You know, price and timing of his selection with Schuster out makes him a near must-have, which is so true. I mean, Schuster, we got the news a couple of days ago. Everyone had about a 12-hour period where they were like, shit, what do we do? And then, yeah, basically had their Katoa news yesterday, which is absolutely huge. The cons, you've put none, which I feel is probably not true. I think there's a few
Well, I mean,
cons.
Job security, but I mean...
Oh, I mean, he's
a bottom price cheapie. So, I mean, let's just say he comes in and he plays game one and... Not that we're ever going to reserve him or anything. We're going to just have him in there. What if he gets dumped in game two or three? We can. It's close enough to just go back to Schuster.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's not terrible.
There's no way from a Supercoach point that if he's picked on Tuesday to come out for the Dolphins, that there could be any downside to it.
Yeah, no, 100%.
People are going to say, oh, well, I'm really scared about the job security and the Dolphins suck. Well, halves in bottom price, cheapy halves are like unicorns, mate. If you get one, you know, if you got to take them when you get them.
I also feel that's a really good point to address because I feel like a lot of people, when they pick their teams, they're expecting everyone just to average 75. Like people are like, oh, this player's weak. I was like, yeah, because not everyone's going to be a gold mine. Like that's, we have big squads of 25. That's not how it works. And same with, you know, picking players with issues. Like not everyone is going to be risk free. So there is going to be issues. So you do make a good point there. Let's talk about some avoid like the plagues and why the fuck is 9% of people owning Drew Hutchinson?
What the hell is this?
I think he is near bottom dollar, but still, like 9%. Jesus Christ.
And what the hell? I mean, he probably will get a run in their 17 off the bench, will he?
With Luke Keary having, not fantastic issues with head knocks.
Because I would have thought they would have gone with Turpin. I mean, it probably means good things for Cheese if it's Drew Hutchinson on the bench, but how the hell is somebody putting him in your team? That's crazy.
Okay, I can understand 9% over with Drew Hutchinson. I can understand that way more than 6% of people with Cody Nikorima.
Yeah, that's crazy too. I mean, what's going on? I feel like I'm like, is there already ghost teams in there?
You
can never pick Cody Nikorima even when he had a better role in the team.
I remember, I think it was, I want to say last year, the year before, he was like, he looked pretty good for 2 weeks. Everyone jumped on, and I think he got dropped that week. Yeah, and I think he got dropped the week everyone bought him. You've got here Cooper Johns at 3.3% as a avoid like the plague. Now,
yeah.
Oh, tell me about, fuck, I could see a world.
Surely Schuster comes back in. He's got to come back.
Does he?
Well,
does he?
Are you gonna have Johns in your team? Are you going to risk
it? I'm not fucking stupid, but Anthony Seibold could be.
Yeah, I mean, people who say, oh, I don't rate Josh Schuster. He looks shit in the sixth. He should be a 13, Josh Schuster. But he can still do ball play from the 13.
I actually wouldn't hate that, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't hate it either. I thought Johns looked terrific. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But if these guys, I mean, Bo Stock was getting the run and everyone's got him in their team, unless they upgrade him to the 30-man squad, he can't be picked for round one. So it's a short stay, you know. Logically, we think it's a short stay.
Yeah, I mean, I put
so much into Schuster. I and it was always he was sitting behind four and for this six. Imagine if he got sniped. If he got knifed by Cooper Johns.
Oh, I can't wait for us to do our preview at round three when we're sitting here at 7 o'clock on Tuesday and we just see Josh Schuster at the number 15 with Cooper Johns in the six.
Oh, mate, and I'm just like these 3.3 geniuses.
Oh, yes. Tyrant Wishart at 2.9%. Not a whole lot more to say here. Just don't.
Nah, off the bench, guys.
And a soft spot in my heart for draft, because I always feel like I have this bloke in draft. It's Jack Whiten at 2.6% for
Jackie boy.
For classic.
If anyone could look like they were having a nap on the field, you see him in that trial.
He did not want to be there.
Nah, it doesn't look good, eh, to me.
No, it doesn't. But
I'm not pumped as a Raiders fan. We've got a really soft draw. And even if everything is swimmingly, like Dally M, Whiten average 50s, I think.
Yeah, he's never been prolific. As much as he looks good on the eye for Black Supercoach, you'd look at Jack Whiten and look how he plays and think this guy's a tackle-busting machine, but he only does it once or twice a game. But anyway, that is the halves done. This is Saturday, so if we can get our Centre Wing podcast research done, we'll do that tomorrow.
I've already done mine.
Fullbacks.
Let's not pretend I don't do mine.
No, it's me. Fullbacks Monday. Live, first episode live on Tuesday. And then we're straight into the swing of things. We might do, maybe if Ado's free, maybe we might do a team reveal on Wednesday. But yeah, far out. It's been a long preseason, but we finally got there. Many, many podcasts done. We've got two more to go. And then we're going to rip into the preview.
The center wing will be a fun one to chat on. We're not going to, obviously, there's way too many for us to all discuss, but I like the ones that you've handpicked out, and there'll be a lot of really good ways that people can go about it. I don't know.
There's been a few.
I have a few different weird ideas in the center wing as well.
Me right now, I do, definitely. There's been a few halfbacks we missed today, like DCE, for example. I mean, you know, if Turbo's fit, I really love DCE. So there's a few that we haven't touched on today. Sean O'Sullivan as well is another one, but we can't cover everyone, but use your common sense. But anyway, it's been the Dual Position Podcast. We'll be back, fingers crossed, maybe tomorrow. If not, I don't know. We'll try and get it done tomorrow.
Oh, nothing to watch today, so just jump on and pump in some notes. You don't have to make them really great notes. All right.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. We will see you tomorrow, hopefully, for the Centre Wing Podcast. Farewell.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.